Welcome to the 103rd episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Richard Knack. Richard is the New York Times bestselling author of 45 fantasy novels. His latest novel is Legends of the Dragon Realm, Shade. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Richard Knack, the New York Times bestselling author of 45 novels, including trilogies from the World of Warcraft and Diablo video game worlds. Knack's latest novel is Legends of the Dragon Realm, Shade. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. Well, first, can I ask you to read the first 3 to 4 paragraphs of Legends of the Dragon Realm, Shade?
I'd be happy to. Chapter 1, The Sorcerer. Irelium by the sea remained a prosperous city even during the uncertain times now spreading across the land. It was a major hub for import and export, and its ruler was known for relative fairness to his subjects, be they of his kind or of other races. Not all dragons were so benevolent. Tall, three-masted ships filled the harbor, many of them loading or unloading cargo. A sleeker vessel with all the hints of being a state-sanctioned privateer began to pull away from the dock. Workers and sailors in free-flowing garments designed for quick movement went about a multitude of tasks as they intermingled with fishmongers, traders, and customers. Armed patrols marched through the throngs, wary guards keeping an eye out for any disorder. Children scurried among the adults, ignoring reproving eyes. At first glance, Irelium might have been any other city in all the world, save that many of its inhabitants were scaled. Humans dominated numbers, but it was clear that they did not dominate in power. While signs of respect did pass between them and the members of the other prominent race, authority without a doubt rested in the latter. After all, were the drakes not the dragon's children?
Great. Well, if the listeners haven't, aren't familiar with your Dragon Realm series, how would you describe the series, and specifically, how would you describe your latest novel, the eighth book of the series, Legends of the Dragon Realm, Shade?
The Dragon Realm is a land ruled by these shape-shifting creatures called the Dragon Kings. They basically have two forms, the dragon form, and then they have a scaled knight form, so to speak, all magical. They vary from those who are very ardent about keeping humans and other races under their thumb, or ones that are willing to work with them, or ones that even admire humans. It depends on where you are. Which causes some matters of discussion and confusion between the Dragon Kings, which is what helps our heroes in these stories manage to survive. This one story here concerns one of the more popular characters of this world, Shade. Shade is not his real name. Shade is what he's become called by others, because he is a character, a sorcerer from a race long past, long before the Dragon Kings. Even that briefly appear in this land, and because of their disdain for paying attention to the results of so much use of their power, they brought themselves down. Shade is the last survivor. Shade tried to keep himself from dying, and unfortunately, his spell, which you'll learn more about in here, did kind of keep him from dying in a sense. He does die, but he comes back. Unfortunately, he comes back at the opposite end of the spectrum, so to speak. If he was your friend before, he'll be your enemy now. And so he's been trying to cure himself all this time while also trying to make up for what he's done when he was bad and so on. Now Shade thinks he's found the solution to his problem. Unfortunately, there are others that want to use that to manipulate him, including the very land itself.
Interesting. Well, I know that you started your writing career writing for the Dragonlance series with TSR, the publishers of Dungeons & Dragons. Can you talk about what led you to write and how you sold your first novel and what it was like writing for TSR at that time when Dragonlance was really exploding in popularity?
Well, I had always enjoyed reading, so, of course, When I could, I started making up my own stories. I always enjoyed playing people's worlds. I read, for instance, Roger Zelazny and Andre Norton, to name a couple, Edgar Rice Burroughs. And so I began writing my own stories through childhood and up. Obviously, nothing that really would sell at that time. But I kept writing, going into high school and then college. And I was actually a chemistry major, as some people have seen from the dedication, Legend of Huma. But I decided to switch over to writing because that just seemed to be more of my course. I continued to work on some different ideas out of college and had actually written a couple of full manuscripts. I lived in Chicago at that time and was reminded that TSR was up in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and only an hour and a half away from me. So I literally took those writing samples and drove up and walked in off the street. You can't do that much at places these days, but it worked.
No.
I literally walked in off the street. I walked up to the receptionist, asked if I could speak to one of the editors. And after she got over her shock, she called the book editor. And he actually came out and spoke to me. And I introduced myself, gave him a couple writing samples, and he was very kind. He said if I didn't hear from him in a couple of weeks, I should call him back. Well, I didn't hear from him in a couple of weeks, so I called him back. And I think it was kind of a test. He wanted to see how determined I was. But he said, do we like your writing style? We're only publishing this one series right now, but would you be interested in submitting some short story ideas to our Dragonlance world? And I was like, oh. Okay, I'd heard of it. I had not had a chance to read it, so I agreed because being asked if I wanted to have a chance to publish in a sort of fiction I enjoy. So I ran out, read the first trilogy, and I believe the first, maybe the second novel in the second trilogy by Margaret Weis and Dre Zichman, and then came up with four story ideas, figuring if I came up with four, maybe one would sell, and submitted those to the editor. And he got back to me and said, we'd like to buy three of these. I'm like, okay. And it turned out that they were going to have three anthologies and they're going to put me in each one of them. So it's all of a sudden I'd have my first three sales. And what was funny is they actually asked me a short time later to see if I wanted to try a fourth story because they had a space open up. And by that time, something else had happened though. I'd gone back to working on my own stuff, you know, excited that I'd already also been writing these stories. But they had called me soon after that to ask me, if based on the fact that they really liked the way I handled noble characters such as knights, you know, paladins, such things like that, if I'd be interested in writing the story of Huma, the knight who first wields the Dragonlance. He's mentioned as legend in the original Chronicles, but he's been dead for hundreds of years. And I thought about it for about 2 seconds and said, sure. Because I knew that the series was popular, I was very happy to be playing in this world because it was a world much of the type that I've always enjoyed reading. And so I looked at what little information was on Huma, started to come up with some ideas, and to make a story short for a moment, everything went great in the end. The book was a New York Times bestseller, has continued to have a lot of popularity to these days, which I'm happy that it is now in ebook form, at least now, since TSR has not been doing much with Dragonlance in terms of the paperbacks anymore these days. Right. But it's a story one I'm very proud of. In terms of how I was writing for TSR, I'll give you a little, this is my baptism by fire that you'll be interested in, I think. Everything pretty much went well. I went through three major drafts. I wrote a version. They didn't like how that went. I wrote a second version. I didn't like how it went. So I kind of combined the style of one version with the storyline of the second version, came up with a third version, which is one they enjoyed. And so everything was going fine. Went through the editing, went through the, you know, all the back and forth and everything. We got to the point where the galleys are coming. Now, those who know books know the galleys are, you know, the printed pages, how they'll look in the book. And you basically go through looking for typos. Nothing, no problem, no big deal. Well, at my last job that I was working at, I had access to the mailing room, so I was having things shipped to me there, you know, in case I needed to have something done quickly. I got a phone call at work and telling me that they were sending me the galleys overnight. They needed me to do something with them. This is after I thought I was done with the galleys, mind you. they had printed up some 400,000 plus book covers, to which I'm like, yay. However, they had a problem. They had discovered that the galleys proved that the book was too big for the covers, which I'd never heard of, and I've not heard of since. But so they basically needed me to edit out some 75 to 80 pages out of the galleys for this.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Oh, and yes, I needed to do this overnight.
Wow.
Yeah. It was either that or they edit it. Woo. I'm like, I'll edit it, thank you. And I basically told my boss, who was very understanding, knew what I was doing on the side. I was going to take the next day off. Got the manuscript, brought it home, started work at 5:30, stopped at 3:30 in the morning because anything I edited out was going to be detrimental after that. And then got about 2 or 3 hours of sleep and started over again. I edited out, if I think about maybe 8 pages, literally. Then I also edited out paragraphs. I combined a couple chapters. Went through at lines and different lines, and I did a pretty good job. I found one little typo that I made from that, but overall I was very happy. But I can't imagine having to do much stranger for a book, especially my first one.
And were you doing this all on the printout of the galleys?
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. So as I mentioned earlier, not only did you write for TSR and the Dungeons and Dragons and Dragonlance, but you've also written media tie-in fiction for some really popular, hugely best-selling video games, World of Warcraft and Diablo. Out of all of your experience, you know, are you comfortable saying, you know, is there one that you particularly enjoy going back to and writing for?
I've always enjoyed going and writing all the worlds that I've been in. Obviously, World of Warcraft, obviously, I've done a number of novels in there, and it's got such a rich history in its world, mm-hmm. which they've had me update a few times. So, you know, people have gone like, that hasn't happened. I said, no, that's the way they have it now. You know, but I enjoy going in that world. It is very full of characters that I enjoy, situations that are fantastic. It's every time I've gone back there, it's been, you know, I've seen new things that have made it even more of a complex world. I mean, it is very much a living, breathing world in many ways. And I'm happy to be a part of it, to add my part to it. And I've also enjoyed Diablo because I like the kind of shadowy quest sort of fantasy. There are certain types of characters I enjoy in there. Wouldn't mind going back to that again sometime. People have always keep asking me about my necromancer, Zael, character I created for that series. He's been real fun. Overall, like I said, I've enjoyed all the worlds I've played in.
That's great.
It's just the way I am.
Yep. So what's the process like for you when you're working on a book in your own kind of universe or setting, such as Legends of the Dragon Realm versus a media tie-in novel? Is the writing process at this point kind of similar? Do you approach plotting and outlining the same way that you would do a media tie-in project?
There's a little bit of a difference. With the media tie-in projects, I usually have a number of pieces of reference material that they've sent me. There's history guidelines. There's updates on what they've changed in the game world. There's screenshots of various things to make sure we can try to get them close to what they're supposed to be. Whereas with my own series, I'm obviously more familiar with that in many ways. That stuff is deeply ingrained in my head. but I still will look back, since this has been written over the space of some 20 years, I will go back and look for names of characters, make sure I still know their personal history. Double check and make sure I've remembered a situation properly over the years. So there's obviously I go back and have to thumb through and read different sections of novels, you know, where they are attached to a character that I'm working with now, just to see if the flow is going as I believe it is. There's a synopsis for each one of them, usually more detailed in some ways with the with the books I do for the other people's worlds, because they have to go through it and see if there's anything they're correcting on their end already, and I don't know yet. So whereas mine basically is I'm just going back to my previous novels and go basing it that. So there's a complexity on working with the media tie-in that in some ways that there isn't with working with my own world. But to me, it's just part of the whole creative process.
Sure. Given that you're writing these tie-in novels based on video games and role-playing games, do you ever do any of that in your spare time, or do you just grab a beer and watch a football game?
I do play the games. I usually get the collector's editions from Blizzard, for instance, on the Warcraft stuff, especially. I don't get to play as often as I would like to because I'm obviously working on the projects for them, amongst other things. But I try to get in there as consistently as I can. I will never be able to make my characters rise up as quickly as other people do just because of that. I'll jump in, go around, look at a few things, fight a few things, and then have to jump out and start working again, and then wait until I get a next chance to do it. But like I said, as much as I can get it, play the game, I will do that. But with the game people, you know, get that project done first, get that story done first, because that's most important.
Gotcha. Well, given all of your experience at this point of writing the novels that you've written, what tips or advice would you offer for aspiring writers?
No, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's going to sound really, really simplistic, but first of all, you have to write. I've always run into a lot of people who says, I want to be a writer, I want to write a story, and they haven't managed to get anything down but a couple pages or maybe a chapter or two. You have to try to write on a regular basis, even if it's not that long of a time each time. But, you know, hopefully you can get an hour at a time and, you know, just keep pushing away at it. If you find yourself really stuck on one story, do you try to develop a second one so you can go back and forth between them? For instance, when I was working Warcraft novels, I have another book called Dragonmound from a publisher called Sea Lion Books. I was working on that on the side in part. And so, you know, if something's stuck on the Warcraft novel, I would go back to Dragonmound and work on that, and then vice versa. So it's always good to have two things going on, in my opinion, so that you, if you get caught up on one, you can go the other one, work on that for a bit, and then come back to it.
Sure.
And like I said, then be stubborn. You know, you're gonna be rejected, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, the end of everything. You just got to keep pushing away and keep pushing.
Gotcha. Given that you do write media tie-in fiction in addition to your own work, are there any universes or video games or worlds that you've thought about? Wow, I'd really like to take a shot at that.
Well, there's a few different ones, I'm doing fine with what I'm doing. I mean, if somebody thinks that I'm good for their particular world, that, you know, they just have to contact me and see if I'm interested, if it's something I think I can give them what they want. For, you know, I always want to make sure I can give the people what they want for their world. If I don't feel it's right for me, then I'll turn it down. I mean, I've had to do that a couple of times with some world that I didn't feel that was my cup of tea.
Right.
But there's a few of them out there. I'm not going to name any specific ones right now.
That's fine. That's fine.
But yeah, you know, fantasy or even some science fiction ones I'm interested too. I totally like science fiction. I just have people happen to like my epic fantasy a lot there, be it the Dragon Realm, Dragon Mound, or all my Warcraft, Diablo, etc. stuff. So.
Sure. Well, do you still have a chance to read in your you know limited spare time?
Not nearly as much as I would like. When I first became a full-time writer, I go, "Oh, good, now I can read more." Yeah. not if you're actually writing.
Yeah.
But I do, you know, once in a while. I mean, not once in a while, but I'm often asked to write blurbs for novels, so I'll use that as an excuse to read those. It's like I have to read this. Or if there's a book in a series that I'm working with, they'll say, "Here's a book by this other author." And I'll, you know, go through that. It'll give me another excuse to read something. And then on a very rare occasion, I can actually just, you know, grab something from my stack of my ever-increasing stack of books that I go, I've obtained from one place or another, and read something from that.
And given that, what you know, in the last year or two, have you read that really impressed you and that kind of stuck with you that you would recommend? Anything come to mind?
I've enjoyed Chris Evans' Iron Elves series, his trilogy. It was published by Gallery Books, which is my publisher. I was asked to read the first one, you know, to do a blurb, and I thought, okay, fine, sounds like something interesting. But I really got into the characters. It's kind of a Napoleonic era sort of fantasy world.
Yeah, I actually interviewed him.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
And I've read those. They're fun.
They are fun. I wouldn't mind returning to that world again. So that one started out as can you read this book for a blurb? And then it was like, when's the next book coming out?
Yeah. Great. Well, what are you working on now? What are you writing?
Well, in addition to compiling some stuff for some other Dragon Realm fiction, I've done, on occasion, do these novellas that are published online, that I publish online for readers of my series. Doing some of that stuff, working on some projects that I can't mention because of NDAs, sure, non-disclosure agreements, and also compiling some material and doing some writing on Wake of the Worm, which is the expected sequel to Dragon Mound, the one I mentioned from Sea Lion Books. Right. If people enjoy my Dragon Realm or my Warcraft stuff, they'll like Dragon Mound too. So that's the sort of stuff I'm working on now. And then I've got a couple other projects on tap in the future, but still waiting for information on those. So right. Again, a lot of stuff I can't mention, sure, sure, and spread over a long period of time. So yeah, if I mention one, if I could mention a couple of them, it'd be like, well, when's this coming out? I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just keep a watch out. So, I'm, you mentioned the novellas that you're writing, for that you publish online. Where can people find that at?
Well, they can find out information on how to subscribe to those at richardanack.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. If people come and join my Twitter or like my page, you'll see information about all my stuff on richardanack.com. I have several people who I've offered to help me, despite the fact that it's something I don't obviously get finished quickly enough. I try to do the stuff on my website myself, just because I'm that kind of hands-on person. Even though, yes, I'm not the most technically literate in some ways, but at least you know if it's on my website that I had a hand in it.
Gotcha. Well, again, we've been speaking with Richard Knack, best-selling author of many fantasy novels. Richard's latest novel is Legends of the Dragon Realm Shade. It's available in bookstores now, so definitely check it out. Richard, thanks for doing the interview.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.